Today's scripture reading is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Amen. 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 So I have the privilege this morning of beginning a new series. And the series is prayer, learning prayer through the Psalms. And we're going to start, of course, with Psalm 1. Which is praying through Scripture. So the psalm that we just heard, it starts by making a stark contrast between two different people or two different pathways, two different lifestyles, one of the righteous and one of the ungodly. And it's interesting that the Scripture actually doesn't say righteous. It says, blessed is the man. And the psalmist here is making a point that it is blessed. It's a blessing to follow down God's path. And you know what? That's something we need to be reminded of these days. Amen. You know, tough times, things are going on in the world. And we need to be reminded that it is a blessing to follow God. It is a blessing to go down his path. You know, I started learning the guitar when I was about 15. And, you know, I've kept it up. I still play guitar at home. And it's become more of a therapeutic thing I do to relax rather than something I perform with. But learning the guitar was not easy. At times it was frustrating. I remember one particular time, my dad is a musician, professional musician. I remember sitting there practicing for hours trying to play this song. He's not even a guitar player. And he walked in, just picked up the guitar and just started playing the song that I was trying to learn. I was extremely frustrated, as you can imagine. You know, there was times where my fingers hurt. I have calluses here. I'm sure Ben does too. There was pain involved. I wanted to give up. In fact, at one point, I did give up. Stopped playing for a while. But you know what? Playing guitar is a blessing. You know, I remember one time I was in a band with three other friends and we played a bunch of youth music festivals back home. It was one of the most exciting things I've ever done. And it was just such a blessing to serve. You know, the way the righteous is similar, it's not easy. There's times of frustration. There's times of pain. There's pressure to give up. And, you know, sometimes along the way we do give up. But it is a blessing. It's an absolute blessing. So let's dig into this psalm. At the start of this psalm, it talks about three things that should be avoided. In verse 1, it says, the blessed man walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful or the scoffers, I think it's set up there. Within each of these three things, so there's three things that we need to try and avoid. There's three key attributes in each one of these. So there's walking, there's standing, and there's sitting. And in each one of these, there's also a location. In counsel, in a path, and in a seat. And there's also three characteristics. There's the ungodly, there's sinners, and there's scornful. So we're going to take a deep dive into these three things and look at some of the definitions of these words and just unpack it a little bit. So the first one is, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. If we look at the Hebrew here, the word for counsel means counsel, advice, and purpose. And the word for ungodly means wicked, guilty, hostile towards God. And we need to not walk according to the advice and the counsel that this wicked world gives us. To not go looking for purpose in the things that this ungodly world has to offer. This world is hostile towards God. It's wicked. And the ungodly world will tell you, it will give you advice and say to you, pursue power, pursue money, pursue selfish pleasures and prestige, and this is where you'll find happiness. This is where you'll find blessing. But we are not to walk according to that advice. We're not to go looking for purpose in that ungodly world. As children of God, we have a higher calling. Amen. It is a blessing to follow God, not the ways of this world. It shouldn't influence us. We should influence it. You know, I remember the first time I went on a missions trip. I went to Chiang Rai, Thailand, right up on the border with Myanmar. And I had an experience there. We went and stayed in an orphanage and we stayed there for a whole week. I've never, ever experienced people like this before. These kids, they served us, they honored us in such an authentic, loving way. I've never experienced such genuine humility from these children. And I've never seen, and this is the thing that just changed me, I've never seen so much contentment and joy in people that have so very little. They have very little physical possessions, but there was so much joy and so much contentment. And the thing that was amazing was it wasn't just the joy that was in their hearts, is they made everybody around them feel joyful. They made everybody around them feel blessed. It was powerful. There's never been another time in my life where I've felt so instantly accepted and loved by strangers. And these were children. The world's advice is to have happiness. We need to chase after it ourselves. We need to chase after money and sex and power. But happy and blessed is like these little kids. Happy and blessed is the man who doesn't walk according to that advice. These children had none of these things. But they showed me more joy, more contentment, more blessing than I'd ever seen before. Blessed is the man who does not walk through this world looking for purpose, how to live. Because it's, like I said, it's hostile to God. So number two is don't stand in the path of sinners. Second statement, we're going to look at two words. We're going to look at stand and we're going to look at path. The word stand, and this is not an exhaustive list because some of these words have many definitions. But the word for stand, ormad, I think that's how you pronounce it, is to stand, remain, endure, to continue, to abide, and get this, to become a servant of. Whoa. The word for path is, of course, way, road, but it's also direction, manner, habit, course of life. So when we look at this, we don't want to stand, we don't want to remain or abide in the course of a sinful life. Don't get stuck in the habit or the manner of sin, becoming a servant of it by going round and round in its course. Blessed is the man who does not find himself in that place. Really? Standing in the path of sinners, not just visiting the world to get advice, not just passing through, but now standing in a sinful position, remaining it and serving sin. So we can see the beginning of a progression here. What was simply an action of passing through life and seeking advice and meaning from the ungodly world is now turned into a place of standing in sin, remaining in it and serving it. So we can understand this progression if we look at a little example. So let's say there's a party, and let's say at this party there's a guy called John. And John is at this party and he's mingling and he's in the living room, and in the dining room is a table with all the snacks on it. And they're all unhealthy snacks. And John's on a diet. And I think you know where this is going. So John is mingling at the party, but every time he walks past the table, he just grabs a snack. He just grabs a little bit of something on the way past and eats it. And this goes on for a while. But before he knows it, guess what? He develops an appetite for the food. And then, and maybe we've all done this at a party before, he's now standing beside the table. And he knows the food is unhealthy, but he's standing there, and now he's in a cycle of just eating the food. Like John at the party, we pass through life, and here and there we just take a bit of advice and we just start doing things the way the world does them. And then before we know it, we've developed an appetite for sin. And then we find ourselves standing next to the table. We're in that course now of sin. Blessed and happy is the man who does not stand in that sinful place. He does not get an appetite for it and does not find himself serving that appetite. So, number three is do not sit in the seat of the scornful. There's two words here that we're going to look at as well. The word for sit and the word for scorn or scornful. The word for sit is the word yalshab, which means to dwell, sit, stay, and have one's abode. So it's now not just standing, now you've moved in, right? You're not visiting, you are planted in the seat of scornful. The word for scornful is lutz, which means scorn, talk arrogantly, boast, mock, deride. After sin is present, the next progression is we sit, we remain in that seat of the scornful, and to dwell there, to have moved in. And now it's affecting you. It's making you scornful. It's making you prideful and arrogant. The sin is affecting actually who you are. And happy is the man, of course, who steers clear of that place. So if we look at John again, right? John's at the party. He's standing next to the table. He's eating all this food. Now, John has pulled up a chair. He's pulled up a chair and now he's sitting down and he is just going to town with this food. But guess what? Now the food is affecting him and he's becoming sick. And that is what sin does. So that's a very heavy way to start. But this is the word. This is the scripture. So what do we do? How do we avoid this progression? Best thing is to not start it in the first place, right? Nip it in the bud. Don't walk according to this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God." So don't be conformed to this world. Don't fit into the pattern of this world. Don't get accustomed to these things. Don't let the world tell you how to live your life. Instead, stay away from the table. and feed on God's word. Which is exactly what the next part of this psalm says. You know, we can feed on the table of this world or we can feed on God's word. Some of you may have be listening to me and just going, well, you know what? I've started that process. I'm somewhere along that. Maybe I'm standing next to the table. Maybe you're making frequent passes by the table. Maybe you're sitting by it. You know what? God is merciful. Jesus paid the price for our sin. We are no longer held by it if we repent. And I think it's important just to say this. I don't want anybody to feel hopeless today. You know, like 1 John chapter 1, 8 to 9 says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This is something we all deal with, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He can take it away. So if you feel convicted by this, run to Jesus. Let him cleanse you. Amen. So we've got through all the avoids. Thank goodness, right? So what are we to do? So we look at verse 2. And verse 2 says, but his delight, so the blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord. And he, in this law, he meditates day and night. So we're going to break this into two areas, delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. Delight in the word of God. This blessed man delights in the word as he meditates in it. He enjoys it. It's not just a discipline. It's not just a requirement. It's not a rule. It's not something that he just has to get done every morning. He delights in it. We see a beautiful example of this in Psalm 119, verses 4 to 16, that says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways, but I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalmist here, as they talk about meditating and contemplating and not forgetting, they talk about rejoicing and delighting. And you can pick up that this is not just a chore. This is not just a routine, but this is a delight. So amazing. You know, when I was thinking about this, there was two things that I thought would be helpful in explaining how I feel about this. One is taking medication, and the other is my favorite food back home, volcano roll. See, taking medication heals me. I don't necessarily delight in the act of it, but it heals me. It's good for me. But I can even forget it sometimes because it's kind of a little bit mafan to have to remember, right? And even if I don't remind myself, I can forget. But it's good for me. It heals me. However, I have a favorite Japanese restaurant back home, which has a food called volcano roll, which is my favorite. And if somebody says to me, we're going to go to such and such a place and have volcano roll, I will not forget. And I will delight in that sushi, don't you worry. It is a delight to me. And the problem is, I think sometimes we treat our time in the Word like taking medication rather than sitting down to some volcano roll. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a relationship with God where I open His Word and I just feast on the volcano roll, right? Amen. So we delight in the Word. And we also meditate in it. We meditate in it. And this is where prayer comes in. It's interesting, it says meditate day and night. So there's a consistency that comes with that as well. Meditate is an interesting word in the Bible as well. It's extremely broad and has a deep meaning. Therefore, it's translated a number of ways in the Bible. And if we look at all these meanings again, we can get a deeper understanding. So we're going to look at meditate. And this, again, this is not an exhaustive list because it's massive. But meditate, hōgō, means to murmur, to ponder, to imagine, to meditate, to mourn, to mutter, to roar, to speak, to study, to talk, to utter. Now, let's look at a few of these. And if you look at them, some of them are internal and some of them are external. Okay? So when we read the word, we should ponder. We should read it, we should ponder it, we should study it. When we get revelation from the Holy Spirit, we should speak it, we should pray it. And he shows us more. So we have this, process. So what I thought was really interesting is these different definitions, I actually thought to get a deeper meaning, I went to the good old Webster's dictionary to get like an English understanding. So to ponder is to give serious and careful thought to something. To imagine is actually to form a mental picture of that. To speak is to express something, a thought or an emotion, to express it in words. Mutter is speech that is not clear enough to be understood. Talk is an extended talk on a subject. And roar is a violent shouting. Who's ever roared in their prayer time before? Yep. And what's really good here is in the muttering, it says, in pleasure or in anger. Because they both happen, right? So meditation is more than just simply reading, right? It's just more than simply just getting through the text. We internalize it. And then we let God speak to us through it. And then we externalize it. We speak it back. We pray it back. And this is how we pray through the scriptures. And as we internalize, of course, we can ponder, so we can think about it. We can imagine it. We can mutter it. But then the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. He gives us insight. And then as we externalize, of course, yes, we can speak it. We can pray back to him, sometimes mutter. Sometimes it's like, oh, like it is deep. And sometimes it's a shout. Sometimes it's praise. Meditation is not passive. You know, we have this idea, you know, that meditation is just sitting down, and it's very passive. Meditation is not passive. It is engaging. It's prayerfully engaging in the scriptures. Sometimes wrestling with it. Letting it get really, really get into our hearts. There's a lot in this internalizing section. As we meditate on scripture, it's important to do all these things, not in a scripted way, but as led by the Holy Spirit, to ponder, imagine, and think, and let God speak to us and apply the scripture. So we're not just to simply read a passage, but linger on it, ponder on it, let it sink in. And roll around in it till it sticks to us. And you know, I couldn't help, as I was writing this, I couldn't help but think of at Christmas time, my mum is well known. She's famous in our family for making homemade sweets. And one of her homemade sweets is Rumbles. I don't know if anybody, Rumbles might be like a British kind of thing, I'm not sure, but like Rumbles is like a cakey kind of fruitcake kind of substance with rum in it, of course, and it's rolled in coconut. So you need to roll them in the coconut, and the coconut sticks to the outside of the rumble. And in the same way that, you know, I grew up watching mum rolling the rumbles in the coconut, it's the same way that you and I need to roll in the Word of God. We need to roll in it until it sticks to us, right? And then when it sticks to us, then we can get to the next part, right? So yeah, let's roll in it, man. Let's not just read through it, but let's read and just roll in it, you know? So that's internalizing. Now, as we externalize, so we've pondered on it, we've rolled around in it. The Holy Spirit has shown us something. And now we need to pray it out. We need to externalize. So we see speaking, talking, muttering, even roaring, right? So once we receive that process, it's like processing. Now, who's ever said this themselves, or whoever's heard somebody say, you know, I'm still processing this through. And maybe something's happened, there's been some kind of situation, something's happened at work, and you're like, look, I'm saying this, but I'm still processing it, right? Processing is similar to what we're talking about here. You know, we receive from the Holy Spirit, and then we roll in it, you know? We roll in it and we let God speak to us, and then we pray it back. And this really reminded me of like when I was in business development. I had a rule for dealing with business partners, which was particularly very important when they were important business partners. And my rule was, if I receive an email, a weighty email, I'll leave it till the next day to reply. Particularly if it's like provoking, you know, as long as it's not urgent, it's not going to delay anything, but I will do that. Why? Because I need to sleep on it. I need to process it. I need to whatever, because if I just react in emotion or I just react in whatever, then I'm not going to get the full meaning out of it, of what that person has said. I'm not going to assess the situation. I'm going to just, and I need to roll in it, right? I need to think about it, but then I can give an excellent response, you know? And then I can respond back. And the thing is, I found that if I did that and the conversation goes back and forward, then relationship is made with that partner, right? And I feel like meditating in the Word is very similar to that. We roll in it, we ponder, we get revelation from the Holy Spirit, but the whole purpose of all that internalizing is to pray it back to Him, right? And the whole purpose of the praying back to Him and then Him speaking to me is all about building relationship with Him. It's about knowing Jesus, you know? It's always about knowing Him. And the thing is, if that's what it's about, that's why it's so enjoyable. That's why we're blessed, because we are knowing Him more and more and more through a lifestyle of just reading and bringing it back to Him and getting to know Him more and letting the Scriptures, meditating on them, rolling around in them so it sticks. So I'm not just the same. Like, I don't just read it and I'm the same, but no, I'm rolling around in it. Now I've got coconut stuck to me, you know? So then what? Right? So then there's two things. The text talks about two different outcomes. The first one is that if we do all these things, right? If then we're a tree. So we all want to be trees. And it says in verse 3, a tree, he shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth in its season fruit, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So if you follow the path of righteousness, you avoid the ungodly paths, and you're delighting and meditating in the word, then you are a tree. And you are planted, not just positioned. You're not a pot plant that can be moved around and around. You're a tree that is grounded. And where are you grounded? You're grounded by the water. You're grounded by the source of life itself. And you will endure in tough times because you are grounded by the rivers. You will prosper and you will produce fruit in its season. When it's the season to produce fruit, you will produce. And your leaf will not wither. Even in the coldest season where there's no fruit, you will not wither up. You will not be starved of life. That is the path of the righteous. Amen? Amen. The path of the unrighteous, not so chipper. So the unrighteous, the ungodly, is referred to as chaff. Who knows what chaff is? Chaff is the husk from the outside of the wheat. It is, so let me just read verse 4-6. It says, the ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Chaff is that husk. It's the left behind when all the chosen things have been taken out. It's discarded after the wheat has been harvested. That's sobering. So, summing up everything, do not follow the ways of this world, but meditate in the word. Enjoy it. Roll around in it. And pray it back to the Father. And you will be grounded and established. The Lord will provide for you and you will be fruitful in his seasons. Amen. Amen. Thank you.